Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you live. Downtown Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino is your spot. Three-hour banger lined up today. Great guests on the program, including Adam Chernoff coming up in an hour. His thoughts on all four games, coaching changes, openings. We're going to talk to Benjamin Albright, who has covered the Broncos for a long time in Denver, get his thoughts on that game. Ryan Kramer, some long shot bets that he likes for the divisional round. And we will go hot and heavy with the NFL, obviously, throughout the next 3 hours. And Pauly, the weather could play a factor this week. For days now, we've been kicking around the idea of, are we going to get Antarctica showing up? Arctic-type conditions in Chicago? Well, the answer to that is it's supposed to be really, really cold, potentially windy, obviously. Did you see those videos coming off of Lake Michigan?
Yeah, okay. They've been good, yeah.
Now, I will point this out, and I highly suggest that you become a VSiN Pro subscriber, vsin.com/subscribe. The daily email is great. All the links to the emails, well worth your time reading. This was from Bill 80 in the email earlier this week. Cleve T.A., who is very good on the National Football League, was on with Gil earlier this week, and he had the chart of games listed when it's like this cold, coldest game since 2000. The over is 10-6-1, average of 5.4 points per game going over. With winds of 12 miles an hour or more, the under was 4-2-1.
This is a big total, though, and it's come down.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we'll see if it wreaks havoc in the first game as well. It'd be fantastic to get two or three weather games here.
Sign me up.
We haven't had many weather games, which has been unfortunate. But it goes back to Stafford being 1-9 in the rain and snow going back, and probably the coldest game he's ever played in. And his numbers have been poor. But also the luck factors we've talked about all year is the Bears number one in takeaways and interceptions and turnover differential, if that will continue. So it feels like maybe he'll throw a pick. And he says he's good to go, but maybe the hand and pinky gives him some problems too. The finger, rather.
Yeah. And the speculation then, the other game on Sunday, New England hosting Houston. There's going to be a rain and snow mix on Saturday. Snowy, slushy travel, on some of the interstates up there. But they still don't know, how inland it's going to go at this point. And I guess we could, but it's too much of a coin flip at this point. But like you said, come on, let's have some weather games in January in the playoffs, and I'll have a good time watching it unfold that way. And by the way, the South Point did go to 3.5 earlier today on the Patriots. I can't imagine that they don't use juice over at South Point. But I think probably every time it goes to 3.5, there's going to be buyback. And then right now they're still resisting that urge, I think, here at Circa, minus 20 cents on the 3 with the Patriots. Okay, so let's get going with the games on Saturday. And the Broncos are now 1.5-point favorites in this game here at Circa. And we've talked about this game a lot so far throughout the year. The big storyline, I think, right, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but we're on opposite sides. The reason why you like Denver is because of the bye, obviously, trusting Peyton, but more importantly, all the injuries now to the Bills,
And they can't stop the run. Yep, horrible run defense. So this is surprising. Teams are only 43% ATS off the bye since 2003. As we mentioned yesterday, the one seed in the NFC hasn't won it since 2017. But Peyton off the bye, 4-0 straight up, an average margin 14 points per game. I agree with Sal Pal. He's using this as fuel, the fact that they open the dog in some spots and not a lot of respect for Denver. But it's their first home playoff game in 10 years. They've won 13 of their last 14 at home, and they're also number two against the run. You get Greenlaw back, so I think they'll contain Cook. They play man coverage and contain Shakir and slow down Superman. And I think they can get what they want on the ground. And unlike Cohen, Peyton won't get away from the run. And a team that everyone likes to bash, and rightfully so, is just the worst one seed we've ever seen. -3 in the turnover differential. Had some horrible performances from Knicks and company. But I think they'll emerge out here with a 7-point win and host the AFC title game against the Patriots.
So then you would be willing to tease the game? Up to 7.5 with the Bills. Allen keeping it close, doesn't get beat by more than one score, basically.
Yeah, probably. A little risky, though. Yeah, maybe there's a late field goal, some of that business, if you trust Prater in this spot, too. I trust Lutz more than Prater, even though we hit the 50-yard field goal last week.
Mm-hmm.
But, this is tough with the injuries, too. I mean, we can't stress this enough on how many guys are hurt. And then your idea, of do you put Surtain on one of the tight ends, and then I can lock down Shakir, make Cooks beat me, or make Coleman beat me, or one of those guys, if that happens. But
so
I think it starts with the number two run defense and containing Cook, and Jacksonville did a pretty good job last week, too.
Warren Sharp comes on several shows throughout the week here on VSiN, our show on Monday, also our Sunday morning tailgate show. We'll talk to him twice, as we have every Sunday throughout the entire season. A couple of tweets from him on this game last night. The Broncos have the number two highest blitz rate in the NFL. And to your point about playing man and how this could tie into Josh Allen maybe taking off. But, as he points out, they must stop blitzing Josh Allen if they want to win. In 2024 and 2023, Josh Allen against Denver, when he was blitzed, plus 0.43 EPA per dropback, 84% completions. No blitz, negative 0.1 EPA per dropback, 58% completions. In two games against the Bills, bench Joseph's defense has done a great job in the first half. In the wild card round last year, Buffalo led 10-7 at halftime. 2023, week 10, Denver led 15-8 at halftime. It was Bo Nix and Russell Wilson, both in Buffalo, but he spiked the blitz rate up in the second half, and the Bills outscored Denver by a 35-9 combined score. So he absolutely killed them when they decided to blitz. The good news is they also have one of the best pressure rates when they don't blitz. So this to me, though, either way, blitz or no blitz, playing man coverage like this, isn't Josh Allen going to take off a ton? I don't know about that.
That's what I was going to ask you. I don't know. He's hurt. Maybe he doesn't.
Yeah, but I like the comment coming out of the from one of his teammates this past weekend when he said, outside of that locker room, nobody in the world's ever going to know how hurt he is. And nobody knows the pain that he has to take every single week. He sucks it up, and he doesn't show it.
Well, I think he's hurt, but I'd rather have May over 36 rushing yards than Josh Allen.
Oh.
Now, I think you'll see plenty of the tush push, which can happen here.
Ooh.
And other people are bringing up last year, but that was the different team. You know, Cooks had a lot of success on him the last couple games, and they ran him out in the playoffs 31-7. I don't think that's going to happen here, and they've completely changed things defensively. And there's some fun props, too. It goes back to, like, how does this stuff not cash when you think about it? Cook to have 5 yards each quarter is $1.30. To have 10 yards each quarter is plus 220. To have 25 yards rushing each half is $1.30. If you think Allen takes off and runs, 25 yards rushing each half is plus 550. And Shakir, a catch each quarter is 2-1. 5 yards each quarter is plus 425 after he had 12 receptions last week. Come on.
Big. Can he get it done? This is Josh Allen talking about how the team has been dealing with all of the injuries to the wide receiver room.
Obviously, not an ideal situation, but I still trust that room completely. You know, whoever we bring up needs to step up, and, you know, we have full confidence that they will. This week is going to be very important throughout the practices that we have of making sure that we're getting on the same page with timing and just understanding where guys can go, try to utilize their strengths to the best of our abilities. But I got no doubt that whoever's going to be up in those spots is going to do their job, step up, and then help us win or help us make plays.
That to me, somebody is going to cash for the Bills. Like, I know the Broncos defense is really, really good. Yeah. I don't think the Bills are going to go touchdownless in this game. And there's an angle where it could be an absolute bomber. It could be a third-string tight end. It could be Curtis Samuel.
Could be.
At that 10-1 price for any time.
Not bad. But a lot of these guys are very low, though. And I still like Shakir over, and I bet Cook's over. Cook's down to 28.5. But there could be a bomber, and there could be a guy you can ladder, and it could be Kirk part two, what he did.
Well, could it be this guy?
Yeah.
Here's John Hansen, the fantasy guru, making the case for one of the Bills receivers in this game.
Keon Coleman over 20.5 yards. I did not like Keon Coleman coming out. I said he stinks, basically. And he has stunk in 2 years. When I say stink, I don't mean he can't do anything. I mean, he's just not that good because he doesn't beat zone coverage, basically. But the Bills are very thin at wide receiver. They're so desperate, they may actually elevate Mecole Hardman from the practice squad. But if there is a sleeper in this game at receiver, it's clearly Keon Coleman. He only had one target last week, but he caught it for 36 yards. would have beat this prop on that one target. He will see a lot of Riley Moss, who is rock solid, but he is also one of the most targeted corners in the league at 18%. Why? Because he plays opposite Pat Surtain, who is the man.
Okay, so
a lot of PI calls.
Yeah, he was also very high on Kirk in that game on Monday night.
Yeah, love them.
And look at this. I'm looking at the ladder props right now for Keon Coleman. 30 plus is plus 154. 50 plus is plus 410. 70 plus is almost 9-1. If you want 100 plus on Keon Coleman, is 25-1. Because his number is so low, I mean, he hits a couple of decent, like, 25-yarder here, 18-yarder here. I mean, you're starting to cook with this ladder prop already. And I, like, that's what you got to look at here to find out some of these guys that, hey, look, one catch might get him overall on the yardage prop for the game. And then if he has a couple more, three, four, five catches, he's going to go bombs away.
That's right. I'd rather have Cooks than Coleman, because Cooks has 7 for 159 going back, with Coleman only having one catch and then being a healthy scratch a couple games. I still think both guys can go over, but I think if one guy explodes, it's Cooks.
How high would you want to go on? I have the numbers right in front of me.
80?
Plus 880.
Yeah.
100 on him is 17-1.
What if they fall behind two scores and they're throwing?
Yeah.
Anything's possible.
Shortest touchdown in the game, under 1.5, is minus 140. Like, we're going to get a tush push at the 1-yard line, are we not?
Short yardage. I don't know. Yeah. That, maybe you get a PI call, too. You've been rooting for that.
All right, more of the divisional round coming up next. The closer we get to kickoff, the more and more I like this player. Find out who it is here on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
To the night game here on Saturday night as the San Francisco 49ers travel to take on the Seattle Seahawks. Third meeting between these divisional foes, and the 7.5s were wiped out. Pretty much 7 across the board now on Seattle in this game, minus 115. Sam Darnold's passing yards prop is 234.5. Against the Niners this year, week one, he had 150 yards. When they played 2 weeks ago, in the regular season finale, he had 198 yards. He's been under by 40-plus yards, basically, of this number in both games or more.
UpDAI likes all these quarterbacks over. I'm shocked.
So am I.
We'll do more on this later. It's all the quarterbacks over, it's the running backs under, and it's the wide receivers over, and the tight ends. I figure it's just going to play out like the game in San Francisco, where they try to gash him on the ground as they ran all over him. And you have a guy who's turned the ball over a ton. As I mentioned earlier in the week, it's the first time since 1978 the one seed has a player who led the league in turnovers, and they had 28 as a team, second most. Also battling the injury, which might be much ado about nothing. But I just think it's lean on these running backs, put them in third and manageable, let them find JSN, and let the defense go to work as they've held them to 20 points in the first two meetings. And who knows, maybe it's Purdy who has the meltdown and not Darnold after Purdy threw two picks last week. He is 4-0 in Seattle, but he's turnover prone. He maybe could throw an interception, and now you're down key weapons as well. But I just think second fewest points allowed. 9 of the last 12 games, they've held their opponent to 20 points or fewer. League low, 3.7 yards per carry. And the Niners, worst turnover differential of all these playoff teams, minus 6. Just putting it out there. Maybe it's Purdy who turns it over and not Sam. But sure. I just think Seattle's the better team, and it's a horrific spot for the Niners with the short week travel after you win a physical game in Philadelphia. And as I mentioned yesterday, you're 3-22 straight up when you're a dog in a wild card round, and then you're a dog the following week.
There's no reason for the NFL to put this game on Saturday. The game that clearly should have been here is Chicago and the Rams. Those two teams played last Saturday, put them on Saturday, and then put the Niners, who played on Sunday, the next Sunday as well. ridiculous that they had to do that. I don't care about the one seed. They already have the bye week. They don't need another day.
It's a huge rest
of an advantage. Yeah, no question.
14 days off, yeah. And Sam, 13-0 straight up when laying more than six in his career.
So I think a couple things are correlated here, right? Because the best recipe for another win and potential cover for Seattle is exactly what you're talking about here and what they did in week 18 on the road against San Francisco. It's you don't have to have Sammy throw the ball a lot in this game. Yes, JSN is amazing, but you don't have to potentially get cooking here with him throughout. You rely on both running backs. They get their attempts. They each probably, you know, I bet over 125 combined from those two guys at plus 150 in that range. So I would say like Darnold, everything under, running backs to go over. And then I would say on the opposite side, because of the great rush defense here from the Seahawks, and they have just sterling numbers across the board. They are second overall with adjusted line yards. They're third with power success rate allowed. Seventh best stuffed rate. And when you look at the second level in the open field, they're first and first overall. So I think McCaffrey unders in the ground game. But again, like Opta AI and other projections I looked at, like McCaffrey to go over rushing, which I disagree with. So I think him under, Purdy over, like pass attempts, maybe completions, INT for sure again out of him in this game. I think they're both kind of correlated here with those two teams. And the guy that I like more and more as we get closer to game time here, again, the DVOA against the tight end position. The Seahawks were 16th in the regular season, but they did allow 64.2 yards per game to the position and six touchdowns. Here are the numbers from Niners tight end Jake Tongas without Kittle this year. 4 for 31 against the Saints. That won't get it done. But 3 for 58 and a touchdown against Jacksonville will. 7 for 41 and a touchdown against the Rams obviously will. 6 catches, 58 yards against the Buccaneers. And a few weeks back against Chicago, 7 catches, 60 yards and a touchdown. Like he becomes a serious target in the passing game. I think because you're high on McCaffrey in the passing game, yeah. I'm high on Tongas. I think both guys can get there.
McCaffrey, 5 yards receiving each quarter plus 280. And JSN to have 25 yards each half is only a minus 130. A catch each quarter plus 110. Opta AI has him going for 100 yards.
Oh, man.
That's a big ask, though.
Especially
if you're going to come out and run the ball. And why wouldn't you? 180 in the last meeting, 170 against the Rams, 163 against Carolina.
Well, all of these games, and you can find this bet at most sportsbooks, they have the largest lead posted in the game. And for all four games, that number is 14.5 with various juice. Does this game turn into a three-score game at some point?
It could go up 17. I could see that.
Yeah. The over 14.5 is minus 120.
Mm-hmm.
You typically like to play under largest lead, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Bills-Broncos, does that one get away from one of those two teams?
That's not bad. I like longest touchdown under, too, which is 5-1 so far in the playoffs.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I kind of like the under shortest touchdown in the Patriots-Texans game. It's 1.5 yards, even money on the under. I don't think we're going to get a lot of explosives in that game. But then certainly if you have a chance to score, I think there's a chance. Even if they're at like the 5-yard line, that could be tough to get into the end zone. But once you get to the one, you could see them pop, obviously.
Mm.
I don't mind that at all.
Both teams to make a 33-yard field goal. Myers has been excellent all season.
Mm.
Pinheiro's got a big leg as well. And I like it in the New England-Houston game. We know about Fairbairn. We'll be down that road all season.
How about road teams in the divisional round when dogs in the 3.5 to 9.5 range, like the Niners are tomorrow night, 29-17-1 ATS. That is 63% on them. Sam Darnold was all of a sudden during our show live yesterday listed as questionable. And we're like, wait, what the hell just happened? Oblique? Are you serious? And then the video started to come out. The number did not move immediately from 7.5 to 7. It did eventually in the hours after it happened. But then you're kind of panicking, like, who's the backup? Oh, it's Drew Lock. Well, is Darnold actually going to be able to play? Is he not going to be able to play? This was Darnold talking to the media about whether or not he's going to be ready to go tomorrow night.
How are you feeling?
Feel good. Just in routes on air, just kind of felt a little something in my oblique. Just didn't want to push it. Wasn't the day to push it. So that was it. So just came inside, got some rehab, and feel like I'll be ready to go for Saturday.
That was just the day that happened.
Yeah.
You ever had anything
oblique issues or anything?
No, never had oblique issues, but it's fun. You know, we'll attack it the next couple days and be ready to go for Saturday.
Is this on, like, throwing side?
It's just on my left side. You know, it is what it is, but yeah, again, like I said, felt it on a throw, but, you know, we'll be ready to go.
Well, he is one of the masters of bad body language, which is not going well. Could this be a really good live betting spot?
Yeah.
If the Niners get out to a lead and he looks like he's seeing ghosts again, and you're still going to be able to get a decent number on the Niners to win the game outright?
I don't think that's happening.
Okay.
I think, again, it could be Purdy with down weapons that would implode here. And he made some poor throws last week. I'm here for if Stafford loses, and there's good tweets on this, the quarterbacks who could be left. There's two angles to this. Number one, Stafford and Williams, number one overall pick. Stroud, number two. Darnold, three. May 3rd. Allen, 7th. Nix was a top 15 pick, and then he got Mr. Irrelevant, right? And then if Stafford loses, we're going to have someone left who doesn't either have a lot of playoff success or hasn't even made a Super Bowl. And that's going to be fascinating to see with the quarterbacks that we have left.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at all the pomp and circumstance with all these guys but Purdy, and then Stafford, the only guy who has a Super Bowl win, if he gets knocked off on Sunday, who would be left? That's a good angle, too, to look at.
How about Purdy, Caleb Williams on one side, Drake May, and Bo Nix on the other? It'd be a doozy of a Final Four with the quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Steve McInerney wrote at vsin.com, teams fight all season long to have home field advantage throughout the conference playoffs. Not great going back. One seeds, yes, they are 30-14 straight up, but 15-28-1 ATS since 2004.
Bad in the NFC.
Horrible in the NFC.
Shocked by that, yes.
Also, one seeds when they take on sixes, and we have that in both the spots this weekend. 13-8 straight up, 6-14-1 ATS since 06. Last year, Lions couldn't stop anything against the Commanders. Got blasted at home.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, one seed's playing as small home favorites of 7 points or less, 4-12 with one push ATS.
The short turnaround also, I think that hurt Shanahan, that they just played and you saw the success they didn't have offensively and how Seattle ran all over them, and now you got to put it together on short week and you're banged up.
Yeah.
And they've been waiting for you for 2 weeks.
So officially in this game, I have Tongas over 34.5 minus 140. I'm going to add him, I think, anytime touchdown. And you're on McCaffrey.
Yep.
Yeah.
Purdy and Darnold, 15 yards each quarter. Even money. McCaffrey, 5 yards rushing each quarter. Rushing plus $1.25.
Oh.
All up at Caesars.
Do they have anything?
This is great.
Do they have like a Tongas or a Barner? Or do they not do that big of a detail?
No. Okay. No, the bigger names they have up there.
Up next, the Sunday matchups. Quarterback struggled against this defense pretty much the entire year. You know it's a fluke when this guy had the best game against them out of every single quarterback that they played. Find out who I'm talking about coming up next.
This is Follow the Money on VSEN.
All right, so it's official on Sunday. Cornerback Christian Gonzalez of the Patriots, moments ago, he has cleared concussion protocol. He's expected to play. So there's no Nico Collins in this game. Do you put him on Christian Kirk because he was so good against Pittsburgh? Or is that kind of wasting him a little bit? You want to sprinkle him around the field a little bit more? So which guy do you want to attack now for Houston with no Collins and Gonzalez going to play here? Because Kirk's prop is 38.5. Xavier Hutchinson is high 20s, low 30s. Jalen Noel is 9.5. Can he hit one for, like, the ladder props there again? When it's as low as 9.5, you ladder to 30, 40, 50 yards, it's pretty big payout.
Popped one against the Chargers. I would look at, even though it's chalky, would be Schultz and Higgins. And they're in the 30s. But it also comes down to game flow and how they're going to establish the run. And if you think Marks goes off, and he was so good against the Chargers in last week, which no one saw coming, I think he can have a decent day on the ground, and they have to stick with the run. Number one, you had a quarterback who tried to give the game away several times and had 5 fumbles, and you're on the road yet again, and you've never accomplished this in the history of the franchise. You're 0-6 in this round. I would think it's Woody Marks all day and try to run him and put Stroud in third and manageable and find Schultz and find some stuff to Higgins. now that you're down your star wide receiver as well, and they know, you know, that they're going to go to Kirk after what he did last week. Last week was a little bit surprising as well because fewest turnovers, Bears 11, Houston 12. Yet he tried to give the game away and had the five fumbles and the ridiculous interception. But you have a conservative coach with a conservative offensive coordinator and a dynamite kicker. I would think they establish marks and then put him in third and manageable based on what he did last week and how bad he was. And you have a nasty defense. So it's 10 in a row against a team that's 14-1 in their last 15. And it's a team averaging 28 a game against the number one scoring defense in the league. It's a phenomenal matchup, but I think May gets the best of them.
So May has been, I'm looking right now, vsin.com, and I'm on the tools page. Click on the tools, and you can go to the NFL Player Prop Analyzer. Passing yards is what I'm looking at right now. Drake May is 15-3 on the year, over 219.5. His number keeps coming down. One book actually has 215.5 right now. So that's reputation here and respect for this Texans defense. Opta AI, they have him going for 247 in this game. Well, I will point out, here are some of the numbers by quarterbacks this year.
They like him under rushing, too.
Well, it's a big number.
Yeah, for a quarterback, yeah. Right. But I don't think for him he is. And I think they'll get him on the move, and he can take off and run.
Patrick Mahomes against Houston, 14-33, 160, no touchdowns, 3 INTs. He was sacked twice. Josh Allen, 24-34, 253, no touchdowns, 2 INTs, sacked 8 times. Trevor Lawrence in 2 games, 52% completion. He averaged 190 yards, had 1 touchdown, 2 INTs, sacked 7 times combined. Stafford played them week 1. 245 yards, 1 touchdown, no INTs, 3 sacks. They killed Herbert. 5 sacks overall, 1 touchdown and INT. Mayfield, back to that Monday night game, they sacked him 4 times. They did not pick him off, but he had 2 touchdowns. The two quarterbacks who had the best games this year against Houston's defense. One, Jacoby Brissett. And that was a blowout, so he's thrown a lot late, but he was only sacked twice. He threw for 3 touchdowns, 1 INT, and Riley Leonard completed 62% of his passes, 270 yards, only sacked once, 2 touchdowns.
That threw me off the scent. That's why I like the Steelers. But the comeback was Rodgers can't move. But how Riley Leonard played against him, how Pierce beat him deep before he was ejected, and how they almost lost to the Raiders, and the Raiders moved the ball on him. And Arizona moved the ball on him. But they completely shut down Pittsburgh, and the pass rush was ferocious. But here, I think May not only can avoid the pass rush, I also think he can hit some shots down the field. Now, without Mac Collins, they miss him. Is it Diggs? They love Pop Douglas in this game. Love him over Opta AI. And Booty, who wasn't supposed to play last week, had some big catches in the second half. So the New England offense was horrible in the first half, and it looked like a quarterback who was nervous in May and the horrible interception early, but the defense bailed him out. I would think there's some shots deep, but I don't know who that's going to be and who he's going to connect. And maybe it's the tight end with Henry, but I think he'll have success as he throws a beautiful deep ball.
The Texans have the second best defense against tight ends per DVOA. They did allow 45 yards per game to the position and 8 touchdowns, but overall they were really, really good against that position. And I will, so I was running down all those sacks on the quarterbacks that they faced this year. Drake May was also sacked 47 times in the regular season, 4th most. He was sacked 5 times the last week against the Bolts. I'm looking at Houston, a sack prop. Here's the thing. Obviously, it's baked in. It's 3.5. Over is minus 125. I can't recall ever seeing a combined sack prop at 6.5. That's where it is for this game. We're going to get 7 sacks combined, maybe, because they were all over Herbert last week, but that offensive line was so bad. But
yeah. Number one, the more I think about it, it was just a fluke, and Kirk won't come close to repeating that. He had 239 yards on the season and had a 144 against the Steelers.
Sure. I think, again, if you're going to attack this, you have to find one of those other guys. Maybe Noel screams to me, again, 8.5. He might have a 25-yard completion. It takes you up a couple ladder right there.
And the quarterback who's going to implode and maybe gives the game away, I think you would start with what happens in the night game, although I think Darnold will be okay. But after what we've watched, not only, again, the Charger game on Saturday and what we watched last week, there's just something off with Stroud. He's not seeing the field. He's not seeing who's open. He's panicking. And it also goes back to, you got to stick with the rushing attack too, which you were having so much success in those games, and he become pass happy, and he's making horrible. He had those two interceptions were also in his own territory what they were doing in the Charger game, and then the horrible pick while they were driving against Pittsburgh. So if a poor decision, I would say absolutely Stroud is up on top for a quarterback this weekend who could blow it.
I think you and the Opta AI statues put me on a bet. Opta AI, VSiN.com/NFL props, projecting him for 1.3 interceptions. To throw one at DK right now is minus 120. But I will say
another thing. You don't have Collins, and as Collinsworth pointed out, nobody saw this coming Sunday night. The Charger wide receivers could not get open. It was a great job by Gonzalez and the New England defense. So can they do the same thing here with down their biggest weapon and the Kirk game being a fluke? Who's going to get open? Who's going to make some big plays in the offense?
I got to ask the question, though. Is there a chance that C.J. Stroud cannot possibly be that bad again? That looked like the worst game he's ever played. And they still won by a big-time margin because of the defense and what they did against Rodgers in that offense for Pittsburgh. Like, I don't think he can be any worse.
Yeah, I know.
You know? Maybe he has three fumbles this game and throws one INT, but that was
I could see two, though. And that could decide it. And May's 11-0 straight up when laying more than three points or more. And I think the move is correct on New England as they try to get to the AFC title game for the first time since 2018. As we talked about yesterday, well, it's wide open. Anything can happen. This is going to be a great playoffs. And you might get Denver against New England and the Rams against Seattle. Yeah. And it's all chalk.
I'm with you. I like the Patriots in this game as well.
All right.
I love the Houston defense so much.
Yeah.
But
if you like the Marks angle again, run. 5 yards each quarter plus 135. 10 yards each quarter plus 450. 25 yards each half plus 165. Seems like you're going to get a lot of carries, and they should be able to cash that. That's what I would do.
Yep, the finale for the weekend. Rams taking money now. Back up to 4 here at Circa against the Bears. I have a big bet for me on Chicago plus 4.5. I bet that immediately when the number came out. I think it goes back to Sunday night. And the more I've heard people talk about this, the more I've heard that the Rams are going to win here, maybe comfortably.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a tough game because how many times can you fall in this hole if you're the Bears? And do the Bears turn Stafford over? And does the weather impact Stafford? They get Dotson back. That's huge. He got hurt in the Seattle game. McVay said they're as healthy as can be. It's incredible the health that they have. And this is also getting some traction with Peter Schrager, that McVay not happy with what Ben Johnson did to LaFleur. Well, okay. In any event, he's 1-9 in rain and snow with a 16-11 touchdown INT ratio. And they have struggled in Chicago going back 2-8. So does the luck factor continue as far as the turnovers? Number one in interceptions, number one in turnover differential. And does Stafford have a poor game, maybe like the Atlanta showing?
I have to bring this up.
It's a tough game.
Right. Yes, the Bears were quite lucky this year. I also think they're a pretty decent football team. Pretty good. With an emerging quarterback. The Chiefs were also one of the luckiest teams we've had. Again, if you reverse the one-score games they played in last year, they went from 15-2 to one of the worst records in football. They made the Super Bowl. So it lasted all the way. They had home field against the Bills. It lasted all the way until the Super Bowl when they finally got pounded. Maybe the Bears have another win or two in them. And then
seven wins when you're down with less than 2 minutes.
I know you have that battling a team that has been progressively going downhill as the season continues here. I mean, right now, are the Rams really the highest power rated team in the NFL, or is that based on what they look like for the first 3 months?
I see a ton of guys going over props. They gave up 34 against Detroit, 38 against Seattle, 37 against Atlanta, 31 against Carolina. Defense is not going in the right direction. You're right.
Win-lose, Paulie's kicking props coming up. Plus, we'll tell you how the teams ranked in the regular season with special teams here on VSiN.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Paulie Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
San Jose Sharks plus 160. Mikhail Sergachev went over again. Utah defenseman at home, 19-1 overrun. Shots on goal. Thanks to Jonathan Davis for that prop. They all cashed the same. Thunder Rockets under 225 down to 221. Warriors from 4 up to 7. No Brunson. Covered against the Knicks. Jazz Mavs over 235 up to 238. While we're all watching Bills Broncos tomorrow at 2 o'clock Pacific, these teams play again. It was 144 to 122 with no flag. Marshall went off. Klay Thompson went off. Everyone went off in this game.
Yeah, it was a bunch of
scoring wouldn't stop.
Almost like fringe guys with the playing time other than Marshall and Thompson. And I really wanted Utah to keep it close because, their schedule here, I didn't think yesterday was the day to bet against them. But I didn't. But they have some other opportunities, I think, where it's going to be kind of a similar result where they get absolutely blasted.
Should be another fun one tomorrow. Cal State Northridge plus 260. Nick Taylor, first round leader, dead heat, 45-1. A listener had that. FTM at VSiN.com. Subscribe, be part of the team. VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in. We'll put you on. This is fantastic. The German Shepherd, so smart. He hears the parent coming home and alerts the daughter, shut the TV off, pretend like you're doing homework. You were supposed to do homework while they were gone. And here's, okay, off the TV goes back to studying and going back to homework as the human walks in. Hey, how you doing? Look at that. The dog's laying down. Here's the human coming home. Barks and alerts. Hey, come on, knock it off. Let's go. We got to make this look right. Shut the TV off. Get back to work.
Comes over there with the paw, too.
Yeah, the paw comes in, right? Yeah, shut the TV off. Let's go. Come on. He's coming. Hurry up. That is great. They are so smart. That's incredible. Tammy Evans, part of the Follow the Money Army. She did well in the booby contest. Almost won. She has hit the Pigou Progressive 7-card straight flush before. She got the Royale with cheese yesterday, 125-1. No Joker? I don't think she has a Joker there. Good job.
Isn't that the Joker by the ace?
Is it?
I think.
Okay, you might be right.
It's a glare right now when I'm looking at it.
But any event, 125-1. Take it down, Tammy. Good job. Lose some. St. Thomas, the Tommies. North Dakota under 167 down to 161. No good. UMKC, South Dakota under 161.5 down to 156. No good. And a bad beat out here last night. What a game Jonathan Davis went to. Leafs led 5-3 late. They were plus at 120. Vegas comes back. They were down 4-2 and 5-3, and they tied it with 7 seconds left and then won it in overtime. Incredible game. January isn't about volume. It's about precision. NFL playoffs are when limits rise, mistakes shrink, and timing matters more than ever. Powered by advanced AI and connected to proven insider sources, locked in on the playoffs. Sharp Plays helps identify where the sharp money hits before the number disappears. Free reports, alerts, and market-moving insights straight to your inbox or X feed. Jeff and the crew been at it since 2011. Backed it up with documentary results, public logs, and transparent receipts. SharpPlays.com, trusted by pros, monitored by the books. This is why the late game Sunday is so tough, because it's going to be likely the coldest game of Stafford's career. How much does weather impact him? Because if it was a game in September, I'd say give me the Rams all day. It's the number one offense against the 29th ranked defense and 23rd in scoring and 22nd against the pass. But it also comes down to, does he take care of the ball? And you going back, you had that number where he goes over 1.5 touchdown passes all the time. And he's 4 straight playoff games. He's thrown for 300 yards, but he can't have any mistakes. And that's what the Bears live on. We are number one in takeaways and using that turnover differential. But on paper, it says, hey, if the weather's not a factor, the Rams will get what they want.
All right. Using DVOA here as my friend, how concerned are you that the Rams ranked 26th in the league in special teams this year?
Big time. Very concerned. Now, Thicker Kicker only missed one kick, but the one he missed was the biggest of the season, high leverage, a 47-yarder at Seattle that he missed. If he wins it, they probably get the one seed. I'm okay with Santos, and he was great last week making the 51-yarder in bad conditions. But I think you have to go under 49.5. Longest made field goal in this game, but it is definitely a big concern with how bad the special teams has been.
Yeah, the Rams are actually, they graded out as the 4th best team on kickoffs this year, but the 5th worst team on punts. So when they're punting, they're terrible.
Now, they have been, since they fired the coordinator, they have been kicking it deep and just saying, well, don't bring it out.
Right.
Which I don't have a problem with if you have so many issues.
So one of the strengths to the Seahawks all year long has been special teams. They graded out second best overall. They're the best team on kickoffs, sixth best on kickoff returns, second best on punt returns. They get the 49ers. They're 13th. So like middle of the pack also, but fifth best on kickoff returns there. And Seattle's the best team on kickoffs.
Oh, okay. And Shahid. Hello, Shahid.
Mm-hmm.
We did it a couple times, and the punt return that saved them in the Rams game.
The Texans were 11th. Here's the thing. The Bills are 15th. The Broncos are 16th. The Broncos are the sixth best team on punt returns. The Bills are the third worst team on punt returns. They're also the second best team on kickoff returns. That's the Bills that we're talking about. So the special teams here could play an issue.
Denver has issues.
Certainly.
Yes.
So does Buffalo anyway when it comes to the punt returns. And then the Patriots actually were 20th overall in the regular season. 9th worst on kickoffs, 7th worst on punts, but they are the single best team on punt returns.
Yeah, Jones scares me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would not kick. I would punt it out of bounds. They're directional kicking. Get it away from him.
And they
were also close to blocking a couple punts last week.
Actually, what's the punt prop in that game? I have not looked at that yet. That is a game. Like, rattle off the games here where nothing could happen. This game could be the no touchdown game.
Yes.
Where it's a battle of, it could be like, if this is 9-6, something like that, I would not be surprised.
It's all about May, because I don't think they can run against Houston. And then can May move it through the air with his weapons. As I've said earlier, though, this is so unique. We got a hot team here that's won 10 in a row, yet they're dogs. So in that spot, they haven't won since 2000 when a team's in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You won 10 in a row, yet you're an underdog and not getting a lot of respect.
Okay, if you don't look at the point spreads, like which game is the best one, in your opinion, that is a chance to really get away from these teams?
Blowout?
Yeah, it's like maybe a team comes back, but you're looking up late second quarter or early third quarter, and oh my God, the game is 24-3 all of a sudden. Seattle's the easy one because they're seven-point favorites.
And the Rams blow out the Bears. Do the Bears get off to another slow start and they're down big, like the Green Bay games?
What if Stafford has a first half like he did against Atlanta? No, that was Raheem Morris. Falcons were really good on primetime. Morris was the former DC, obviously, with the Rams, so he knows the team quite well. And the Falcons completely underachieved this year. Could it be the first game? I've been thinking all week long, like, tease either one of the dogs here. But could it be where, oh, look at this, Denver or Buffalo. Nobody saw this coming, and it's 27-7 third quarter.
Denver blows out the Bills.
Either way. Knicks is terrible, and Josh Allen just on a massive heater.
I can't see it. I can't see Knicks falling on his face either, because it's all going to be about the rushing attack and safe throws. And how Peyton was disgusted with how they played against the Chargers. I think Knicks is fine. I can't see Josh Allen having a terrible game.
Yeah.
And Josh Allen coming out with a 3-turnover game? I can't see that either.
All right, well, I just said I wouldn't be surprised if it was 9-6 Houston in New England.
Yeah.
How about that game? Where Stroud's abysmal yet again.
Without his best weapon, and again, they get away from the run and do stupid stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's just where, hey, the defense is, like, they're bending a little bit, and May's able to take advantage of that.
I could see 24-6 Patriots fourth quarter.
Okay.
Stroud turns it over, and May makes a couple big plays. I'll give you that one.
Because if you go back and look at the box score from last year against the Chiefs in the playoffs, Texans were the better team.
Yes, they were great.
Could have won that game.
That's Aikman losing his mind after the roughing the passer call.
Oh, yeah.
They were right there.
And they were not great though either.
Was that the game Tank Dell got hurt and Stroud was crying? Or was that a regular season game?
I don't remember that.
Well, okay. In any event, that was the Aikman game when he lost his mind, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
And please, I don't want a game decided by officials.
Oh my God, no. No, absolutely not.
Can't have it. Can't have a Tampa Bay a Carolina situation. Can't have it. Stay out of the way. Can't have a Charger Denver situation.
Cannot have a Rams Saints situation.
No. God, no.
All-time bad right there.
I'm okay with all these kickers, though. Like 47 yards, tie game at the gun. all these guys can make it.
Okay.
I feel good about all these kickers that are left. Even though Thicker Kicker missed the 47-yarder, but he was nails in all the other kicks.
Well, Fairbairn was not perfect last week.
Well, it was blocked. That's not his fault on the extra point.
Adam Chernoff on the program coming up next. Longtime friend of the show. We'll run down all four games, get his best bets with analysis here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.